The one-act players present The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. Today's adventure, The Speckled Band.
When reflecting upon the many cases in which I shared the confidence of my friend Sherlock Holmes, I can recall none more disturbing than the one that began on an early April morning back in 83. Holmes was a late riser as a rule, so imagine my surprise when I awoke to find him standing, fully dressed, at the foot of my bed in the rooms we shared then on Baker Street. It's only 7:15.
Watson.
Huh?
Watson!
Oh, Holmes? Oh, what is it then? A fire?
No! A client. It seems that a young lady has arrived in a considerable state of excitement, insisting upon a consultation. I presume you wish to put on a robe and follow this from the outset?
Most certainly. What do you know of this young lady?
Nothing particular, as of this moment. But when young ladies wander about the metropolis at this hour of the morning and knock sleepy people up out of their beds, I gather something very pressing is at hand.
Indeed.
Mrs. Hudson described her as a young woman dressed in black, heavily veiled, and at this moment waiting for us in the sitting room. Ready?
Yes, quite.
Good morning, madam. I am Sherlock Holmes. This is my intimate friend and associate, Dr. Watson.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Helen Stoner.
Please sit down by the fire, Miss Stoner, for I observe that you are shivering.
It is not cold which makes me shiver.
What, then?
It is fear, Mr. Holmes.
You must not fear. We shall soon set matters right. You have come by train this morning, I see.
You know me, then?
No, but I observe the second half of a return ticket in the palm of your left glove.
Oh, yes, I started from home before 6 and came by first train from Leatherhead to Waterloo. Oh, sir, I can stand this train no longer. I shall go mad if it continues. The horror of my situation lies in the fact that my fears are so vague and my suspicions depend so entirely upon small points, and those I turn to merely soothe me with calming words about my imagination. I can tell they believe this all to be the fancies of a nervous woman.
Here, Miss Stoner, take some coffee.
Thank you. I come seeking your advice, Mr. Holmes, for I do not know how to proceed. My fiancé is presently in Europe, and not a man of much financial means, so I have no money to pay you now, but once I marry, I will have an income, and you shall then find me most grateful.
Please, tell me your story, and leave nothing out, even if you think it trivial.
Thank you. Well, my sister, Julia, and I came to live in Surrey some years ago with our stepfather, Dr. Grimsby Roylott, who is the last survivor of the Roylotts of Stoke Moran.
The name is familiar to me.
The family was once quite rich, but 4 successful, wasteful heirs left nothing but a few acres of ground and a 200-year-old house falling to ruin. The last squire's only son, my stepfather, was determined to avoid the life of an aristocratic pauper. He obtained an advance from a relative, took a medical degree, and left for India, where he had quite a successful practice.
And where he met your widowed mother.
Yes. Our father was Major General Stoner of the Bengal Artillery. I was only 2 years old when he died, and Julia but 5. Soon after her remarriage, my mother began speaking of a wish to leave Calcutta to return to England. I think she found India too full of memories of her father. When we returned, however, Dr. Roylott found it difficult to establish a medical practice in London. Still, my mother had a good income left to her by our father, enough for all our wants. There seemed no obstacle to our happiness, and then...
Go on.
Then my mother died. She was killed 6 years ago in a railway accident. Dr. Roylott then abandoned attempts to establish himself in London and took us to live with him in the ancestral house at Stoke Moran. And after that, such a sad change came over him. He shut himself away in the house and rarely ventured out, and when he did, it seemed only to engage in ferocious quarrels with whoever might cross his path. But the oddest thing was how he began to disappear. For weeks on end, going off to live with the bands of wandering gypsies he had allowed to stay on the estate.
Gypsies?
Yes. I suppose you could say they are my stepfather's only friends. Everyone gives Stoke Moran a wide berth these days, Mr. Holmes, being not only afraid of the doctor's temper, but also of the exotic animals from India that he allows to freely roam the grounds, baboons, and a cheetah at present.
Interesting.
Indeed.
Well, you can imagine from what I say that my poor sister Julie and I had no great pleasure in our lives. No servant would stay with us, so we did all the work of the house. Julia was not yet 25 at the time of her death, and yet her hair had already begun to whiten, even as mine has.
Your sister is dead, then?
Just 2 years ago. It was such a tragedy. Even though we saw very few people at Stoke Moran, Julia was fortunate to meet and fall in love with the Major of the Marines. They were to be married. I was so happy for her. It was a mere fortnight before the wedding that she died. And now, looking back, those events frighten me all the more.
Pray, be precise as to the details.
On the night of her... That night, Julia was in my room, chatting about wedding plans. She rose to leave, but paused at the door and asked, "Helen, have you heard anyone whistle in the dead of night?"
Had you?
Never, Mr. Holmes, as I told her. She then asked, "Do you think it possible you have whistled in your sleep?" Oh, I told her no, I did not think so. It was such an odd question that I asked her to explain.
And?
She said that during the past nights at 3 a.m. she had been roused from sleep by a low, clear whistle. I said it was likely coming from the gypsy camp, but she replied that if such were the case, then I would have heard it too, as our bedroom windows both faced the same direction across the lawn.
Hmm.
She then said it was no matter of great consequence, left my room, and in a few moments I heard her turn the key in the lock of her door.
Indeed. Was it always your custom to lock yourselves in at night?
Always.
And why?
Well, there were the animals that the doctor kept, and with strangers often camping so near the house, we had no feeling of security unless our doors were locked.
Quite so. And the windows to your bedrooms?
We barred the shutters.
Yeah, yes. Pray, proceed with your statement.
Later that night, the weather turned wild with a howling wind, and I had trouble sleeping due to the noise. Suddenly, amidst the sounds of the gale outside, I heard the terrified scream of a woman. I knew it was my sister. I sprang from my bed and rushed out the door. I hurried to her room, and just then, her door opened and swung inward. I stared, horror-stricken, not knowing what was to issue forth. But by the light of the corridor lamp, I could see it was my sister, just inside the doorway, her face blanched with terror, her hands groping for help. Well, I ran to her and threw my arms round her, but at that moment her knees seemed to give way and she fell to the ground. She writhed as one in terrible pain. I thought she did not recognize me, but she looked in my eyes with a terrible gaze and shrieked out in a voice which I shall never forget. "Oh, my God, Helen, it was the band, the speckled band." I rushed out, calling for my stepfather, whom I met hastening from his room in his dressing gown. When he reached her, she was unconscious. He placed her on the bed, but before he could even examine her, my sister sank away and died.
I am very sorry.
One moment. Did you hear any noises coming from your sister's room?
No, but with the gale blowing outside and the creakings of an old house, it would have been difficult to hear such noises.
Was your sister dressed?
No, she was in her nightdress.
Was her room dark when you entered?
No, the lamp was burning. In her right hand was found a charred match stump, too.
So, she had struck a light to look about her when the alarm took place. That is important, Watson.
Mm.
And what conclusion did the coroner come to?
He investigated with great care. I had seen my sister open the door to her room, and I presume it was locked before then. The windows were shuttered and barred from the inside. The walls and flooring were examined and found solid all around. The chimney is wide, but there are bars reinforcing it all the way up to the flue. It was clear that my sister was alone when she met her end.
What about poison?
She was examined for it, but without success. In the end, the coroner agreed with my stepfather that Julia had perished from some fit of the nervous system that could not be anticipated or prevented.
But you doubt these conclusions?
I don't know. I mean, she may have died of nervous shock, but I don't know what could have frightened her so.
Oh. And what did you gather from this allusion to a band, a speckled band?
Sometimes I have thought it merely the wild talk of a delirium. Other times I think she might have referred to the band of gypsies who often wear spotted handkerchiefs, but, well...
These are very deep waters. Now, Miss Stoner, you must tell me what has frightened you to such an extent that you now travel to London to seek my advice.
Just 2 days ago... My stepfather began some repairs, including the outer wall of my bedroom. This has necessitated moving into my sister's chamber to sleep in her bed where she...
Miss Stoner.
I'm all right. Late last night, as I lie in bed, I heard in the silence the low whistle which had been the herald of my sister's death. I lit the lamp, but there was nothing to be seen. I was too shaken to go to bed again, and so I dressed and I made my journey here.
You have done wisely. There are many details I wish to know before I decide on a course of action, yet we have not a moment to lose. If we were to come to Stoke Moran today, would it be possible for us to arrive and meet you unseen by anyone on the estate?
Well, yes, I suppose. My stepfather is to be away all day.
Excellent. You are not averse to this trip, Watson?
By no means.
Then we shall both come. You may expect us early in the afternoon. Watson, if you could show our guest out.
Of course.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. My heart is lightened. I look forward to seeing you both this afternoon.
Miss Stoner.
And what do you think of it all, Watson?
It seems to me to be a most dark and sinister business.
Dark enough and sinister enough. Now, let us have a little breakfast, and afterwards I shall walk down to the Commons, where I hope to get some data which may help us in this matter.